Vendo Radio is on now.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 345. I'm your host, Lewis Pugh, and joining me tonight, we have Colin Crompton.
Hello there.
And it's just us two. It's a two-man show. Our show tonight, we have two segments for yourselves. We have the Nintendo news, and our second piece is a feature on Nintendo remakes. Both past and speculating on future. However, before we jump into the Nintendo news, Colin, apparently you have some new hardware news to discuss.
I do, yeah. well, I went out and got the Wii U battery pack, the expanded battery pack.
So how are you even finding that then?
It's a massive improvement over the original.
It
because, I mean, the problem with the original battery was you play a game and then the gamepad would die, you know, because they only last 2 hours or 3 hours at the most. Well, it's quite pricey, though, to get the new battery. I mean,
so how did you go about ordering yours?
I got mine off Amazon.
Off Amazon, okay. I remember when I got mine, it was when they were only selling it in Japan, and I can't remember which store I got it from, but... Obviously, it wasn't as easy as it would be now. I think actually, like, just at least over here in the UK, the Nintendo UK website stocks as well. Although I wouldn't be too surprised if you had it for a slightly cheaper Amazon.
Well, so you say slightly cheaper, but I paid £25 for it. Yeah, that's a big. You know, is it really going to be that much of an improvement? And I'm glad to say it is, because it's now just really nice to be able to play a game and not have to worry about plug it in halfway through, you know, a session. Another concern is, I mean, I've taken apart consoles and controllers before. I've done it a lot, but I was really concerned about taking the back plate off do I mess around with the battery? But the installation's so simple.
I was going to say, I assume the battery, as it were, came with a little screwdriver.
That's right. Yep.
What I think is hilarious about that situation. Did you know that screwdriver and the screws on the back of the gamepad are the same screws used on the new 3DS?
Huh.
However, even though you need to take it apart to get to the SD card, they do not feel necessary to include a screwdriver with the console, yet they will for the battery.
That's odd.
That is peculiar.
That's very peculiar. Okay, there you go.
So I did end up using the little screwdriver I got with the Wii U battery to take the back off my new 3DS to change the SD card.
I thought that was like the reason why it costs so much, because it comes with a screwdriver. So there you go. So that's I just thought I'd mention that it's worth purchasing if you haven't got it already. It makes a huge difference. It really does.
It really is night and day.
It is. It's amazing. But it should be a standard thing now with the console, I think.
Yeah, that's another weird thing. I mean, they don't even have to make a big song and dance about it, but just sneak it in.
Just ship it in, yeah.
I mean, as you said, it cost you what, about £20 or so?
Yeah, £25.
I'm sure in terms of the price to make it, and then, you know, taking away the cost of whatever the cost of the current battery they put in there is, I doubt, you know, slight, I'd imagine, that they could just, you know, push that in. And, you know, if they wanted to say, oh, it's got a bigger battery now, then, you know, good for them. But, I mean, they're making these things, so it's, it makes no sense to me.
Nintendo could easily do is do like a super deluxe Wii U that comes with even more memory, which would be nice.
Yeah.
And the expanded battery, and like market it for like this is like for the hardcore players.
Yeah, that'd be great. That would make sense. Oh well,
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see some sort of difference in bundling and so on in the year to come, go alongside either Splatoon or Xenoblade or Zelda. There's some opportunities there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also quite surprised. You know that day one update the Wii U's have? I mean, yes. The consoles still don't ship with that. You have still have to do the day one update.
That is even stranger. Is that again, same for 3DS's?
I believe so. I think you get a 3DS, it's just got 1.00 software.
And I guess that's a slight advantage of opting straight for the new 3DS.
True.
Because obviously that does come with whatever the latest firmware was at the time.
Ah, okay. it is odd. But so that's that. I mean, that's just one issue. But I also like to reveal that I may be the biggest hypocrite going. Ooh. In that I said I would never buy an amiibo.
Oh.
And I
said... how many amiibo have you bought?
Just one.
Okay.
Just
is
one.
Is it Link?
It is. How did you get that? the story goes. I mean, I was in my local game shop. Sorry?
You bought the Spinner DLC, I hear.
Hell yeah.
I'm just imagining that was essentially what the purchase was.
The purchase was for... So I was in my local game shop. I traded in some stuff to get some games and stuff. And I had some left over. You know, you end up with an amount that's not enough for a game, but you don't want to leave with nothing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I was in that dilemma, what do I get? And I was looking through the Nintendo section. They had Amiibo, and they're so well advertised. The way they display them, it's like, that looks pretty good. I went and picked up... the first Link I picked up, I was like, yeah, I'll buy a Link Amiibo. And I looked at it and realised that the Master Sword was bent almost at a 90-degree angle.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, this Master Sword goes around corners. So I don't want that. Put it back. So I found one that was in better condition. And that's it. Now proud owner of a Link Amiibo. I was actually quite surprised by the detail in these things. I never really picked one up and look at it. I always dismissed them. It's like, nah, I don't want those. But they're amazing little things. It's just, especially for the price. I mean, I paid $14.99 for my Link Amiibo, which I think is fair enough. I just want to get that out there that I am now one of the loyal sheep that have purchased an Amiibo.
So I assume you have used it. Somewhat since
I have used it. See, I thought this might get me back into playing Smash. So I was like, yeah, no.
You're a sparring partner now, because that's all you only need one really, and you get the full functionality out of it.
That's true. I'm just intrigued to see what they're gonna. Because obviously, it's gonna have some use in the upcoming Zelda game.
Yeah,
you would have thought. So,
actually, that might link into one of our new segments. In fact, I've got that first on the bullet point, so I think now is the optimal time to jump into the Nintendo news.
Yep.
And the first piece of news we have is, oddly, the Happy Mask salesman may make a return to a Zelda game. And this news came out of a, in quotes, interview with the Happy Mask salesman on Miiverse. However...
An interview with a character that doesn't exist.
Exactly. But we can obviously take whatever they say, because it was an official, in quotes, event by Nintendo, that these are announcements or details just from Nintendo themselves. But anyway, I'll say the quote from the Happy Mask salesman on Miiverse. My, I've certainly been appearing all over the place these few days. If this keeps going, maybe it wouldn't be a stretch to expect me to pop up in a new Zelda game too. Ho ho ho! I've got some new masks too. If you like to try them on, if I do make an appearance, I'm sure everyone will will experience such happiness. Believe in your strengths. Believe. Ho ho ho. So it's a peculiar announcement.
That is some terrible dialogue.
True.
But They don't reveal much in it, though. I mean...
Well, no, I don't think it was necessarily meant to be a... this was something where some news would come out of and people were looking for news.
True.
It's just these from weird sources. These things do come sometimes. Well, what do we think this might allude to?
They're definitely hinting at something. He's like, "Oh, I've got some new masks," which immediately makes me think they're doing a sequel to Majora's Mask.
Oh, you're thinking just straight to
some
sort of Majora's Mask sequel.
But I can't see it happening. Because
I think we've got a couple of options. That being one of them. Some possibly building on the same engine as Majora's Mask. Maybe there will be an original game using some of those mechanics with a new story. That or maybe the Happy Mask Salesman will appear in the Wii U game. And he'll play a similar role as in Ocarina of Time, where he will sell you masks, which you can sell to NPCs. And that might make some sense with the open worldness of it.
Yeah.
It'd be just one of those side quests. Or I guess the other thing is maybe it's even more Hyrule Warriors DLC to come. And he'll use his masks as weapons or something like that.
Well, I mean, they've already done that partially with Young Link.
True.
I mean, he uses a mask to attack. I always thought this could be is like a little standalone game, like Pokemon Shuffle or something like that, but Zelda.
Oh, yeah.
Like a little just a little like side distraction. That,
so now I'm surprised we've not seen more side games from Zelda.
Yeah,
because I can only think of Link's
crossbow training. Yeah,
there's never been like some sort of puzzle game like Match 3 or like some weird, I don't know. Even Metroid's had Pinball and so on.
It's the one Nintendo series that hasn't been crammed into every genre they could try.
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways you could call Hyrule Warriors a spin-off, but I mean it's still...
Well, that's a very good point. Yeah, that would count, wouldn't it?
But still, I mean, other series vastly outweigh what Zelda's been through. Mm. I don't know.
Well, your first point was maybe Majora's Mask 2. I think it'd be awesome if they went back to the old Zelda 3D engine. My guess would be it would be on a 3DS. And they just made another one of those games. That'd be awesome.
Well, I mean, they managed to crank out the original Majora's Mask in 2 years, so maybe. I mean, we get a handheld Zelda every 2 years or so.
Yeah.
We got Ocarina of Time in 2011. We got A Link Between Worlds in 2013.
Oh, I know what it could be. Not Majora's Mask 2, but A Link Between Worlds 2, or the equivalent. It might not be called that. So the next top-down Zelda game, original game, maybe the Happy Mask Salesman has a role in that.
I always thought it'd be interesting if instead of what they did, the handheld games, like they actually link to the console games, like Link Between Worlds is linked to A Link to the Past. If they actually followed that and say, like, the next Zelda game is, like, following on from Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask,
so
kind of.
So when you say link, do you mean, like, the,
well, it's
the
because,
two
like,
games on the Game Boy Color?
No, I mean, like, as in, they share some backstory together. I mean,
like Ocarina and Majora's, kind of.
Yeah, that kind of feel to it. I mean, So say, like, the next, 3D Zelda, Majora's Mask is obviously on 3DS, so next it's Wind Waker, which they've already done the HD remake.
Yeah.
But if they do a game that's linked to, like, it's set, like, 100 years after Wind Waker, and that's their next handheld game. You kind of see where I'm going with this.
I do.
I think it's quite an interesting path for them to take.
Yeah. We're going a bit of a tangent here, but I do think it would be cool that... I mean, they've kind of been a bit more vocal about, like, the timeline now. So I think it'd be... And they've been, referencing it somewhat in the games.
But definitely references the original.
True.
The Link from the Past.
But I would like one of the games to actually reference, like, the big thing about the timeline, which is the split. And, like, some sort of time travel, and maybe you could cross between one timeline to the other or something. Because it is essentially canon, and Nintendo have referenced it, and it's been in Hyrule Historia. Even if they just, like, locked that down to one of the games in particular, I think it'd be cool to explore that. Because that is something which is quite unique about the Zelda universe. It's got these, three different timelines. But in each game in itself, it doesn't really mean much.
No. I looked at the first saw the Zelda timeline, it'd be nice if they explained, because it shows like key events that happen along the timeline. There's wars that break out, and
yeah,
I mean, they could use a game during one of their wars and say that this is what happened, you know. I mean, they've got tons of room to maneuver within the timeline.
Oh, definitely. So. Which is obviously good for us. Yeah, very intrigued to find out what's actually happening story-wise with Zelda Wii U. But we don't have much long to wait now. It's not long to E3. Mm-hmm. We'll hear lots more.
Hopefully.
Yeah. However, our next piece of news is something Pokemon-related. And it's quite a light topic, really. New Pokemon themes for the 3DS have come out. And this is for both Europe and America. The three themes cover, there's one around the Pokemon trainers, and they're kind of all circling around this globe in a nice little chibi art style. The second is a more classy Pokemon Hanafuda type style. And third, we have a quite simplistic Rayquaza theme, and there's just a big picture of him essentially on the top, and his tail kind of goes down to the second screen, and they're available for $1.99 or £1.79 over here. So yeah, as well as mentioning these, I was just curious, Colin, any particular theme you're rocking on your 3DS?
I currently have the Link Between Worlds theme, and I've had it since they first introduced the idea of themes. That's the first one I brought, and I'm still happy with it.
Nah, yeah. That's a cool theme. And funny you say, I also have a Zelda theme. It's not Link Between Worlds. It's been updated to the Majora's Mask. Although they have a few of them, so it's basically the non-gold one. But what I quite like about it is it just plays, I don't know the name of the tune, but it's what I think of when I think of Majora's Mask music. It just kind of plays that tune as the background music. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if the Link Between Worlds one did this, but actually I guess it wouldn't. But when you move the cursor around the D-pad, it makes the same little blip as when you do that in the game.
Oh.
It's just this really small thing, but it makes the menu feel like a Zelda 64 menu. Game. And when you click on an app to launch it, it does the sound of the bell in the town.
Ah, because on the I think the Link to World stream does the traditional chest opening.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
I do like the little touches they put in these themes.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're definitely worth the asking price.
Exactly. I was quite dubious at first, but I do think that if you see one which takes your fancy, they're worth the money. There's a lots of details in these things.
Yep.
Next item of news we have is a new game announcement. At least it's definitely new on my... this new for me, and it comes out soon. The game is Iron Combat War in the Air. And it's a game developed by AMSI and published by Taeon. Have you heard of this at all, Colin?
No. I've never even heard of the developer.
I'll try and describe this one very briefly. I saw a video of it earlier today. The first part of the video made it look almost like Ace Combat.
Iron Combat War on the Air.
You say that.
It's the sound of the title makes it planes.
True, however. So it starts off with planes. As well, right. Fair enough, that's planes, shooting over planes. It looks all right, looks graphics-wise. And then it transforms into this mech game.
Okay.
I don't know if it literally transformed, because it went from one screen to another. But it's not your traditional type of mech. It's the type of mech where it's a girl with mech bits around her.
Japan.
Japan, indeed. It didn't show this, but apparently the mech battles can take place both in air, which is the bit we saw in the video, and on ground, which all together with the plane combat as well. I guess it's quite diverse. If the game's actually decent and graphics look good, might be one to keep an eye out for if that's up your alley.
yeah, we'll wait and see.
Notable, at least. Next.
This horrible image of his plane transforming into a mech girl thing.
See, I can't confirm if the plane does transform into the mech girl.
I know, but...
My guess it wouldn't be, or else the mech girl should just be a mech.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. a mech girl doesn't even make any sense. But...
Well, true, because the plane just looked like a regular ass plane.
Right. Baffled. Completely baffled.
However, we now have some Code Name Steam news, if you're listening to this in America. Good news is the game is out. However, it's not out over here in Europe yet, which is a shame. I don't actually have the release date at hand. I think it's next month it comes out.
I think so.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. So reviews have been mixed, though.
Yeah, I've noticed this, and it's...
Well, I say mixed. There haven't been any bad reviews, but it's ranged from average to great.
Yeah, it's that, you know, those are little reviews that make me kind of like, well... Yeah. I mean, Fire Emblem Awakening got outstanding reviews.
Across the board.
So, have they slightly dropped the ball with this? I don't know. It's
Well, I think it might just say it's more... Not that Fire Emblem has ever mass market, but true. Maybe even more so this game is a bit more niche. Just because you need to like strategy games, but you also need to like your strategy games with some real-time elements in there.
These are like a strategy games of Abe Lincoln.
That too, yeah. That's
important.
and apparently, yeah, I wasn't quite aware of this at first, but yeah, it seems like most of the characters in that game are pulled from various works of fiction. I'm quite intrigued to see how straight it plays itself. Or how good it is in general.
It's gonna get crazy real quick. You know, it's just gonna be
true. But that might be the best thing to do with it.
Oh yeah, I mean, they try and take it too seriously. Like, oh, you know, I can't look at Abe Lincoln directing a group of you know mercenaries as they are. You know, that doesn't make any sense. But
nah. But yeah, no, I am looking forward to playing it. We also have. What's next on the agenda? We have a promotion in Europe, on the European eShop at least. And I have taken advantage of this one because it is Phoenix Wright related. If you fancy yourself some Phoenix Wright, you can grab the new release of the trilogy for 25% off, which takes it from $24.99 to $18.74, which for the free Phoenix games is a pretty great deal. And you can get the latest original game in the Phoenix series, Dual Destinies, at a big 44% discount, where it's gone from its original price of just $19.99 down all the way to $11.19.
Yeah,
so pretty good discounts all around.
Pretty good discounts. I mean, the trilogy one is odd because they went, okay, we're gonna take a quarter off, which leaves you with the very odd $18.74 to pay. Yeah. And then on the other hand, you've got the very odd 44% off, which leaves you with the weird $11.19.
Yeah,
they
couldn't
quite decide where to go.
Yeah, but that one makes a bit more sense. And I guess the trilogy hasn't actually been out that long on the 3DS.
Which, yeah, that's the odd thing, how quickly they're discounting it. I mean, 25% off, that's not a bad deal at all. It's just odds that the amount you have to pay.
Yeah. True. Yeah. It is peculiar, but if you've not picked up those games yet, they're available till the end of the month, I believe. Actually, I think it might even be the 25th of March, so grab that while you can. Next on the list here, we have another new game announcement, at least for America and here in Europe, which is Senran Kagura 2 Deep Crimson. And if you thought Iron Combat War in the Air was peculiar or just Japanese, you've not quite seen anything yet.
this game, this series.
Yeah, it's a series, and it kind of jumps between 3DS and Vita, doesn't it?
It does, for some
I'm not
reason.
Sure if there's any console releases in Japan.
Sure.
This game is a brawler. I'm not sure much more than that beyond, obviously, there's quite busty anime girls in there.
Yes.
Who belong to ninja schools, I believe.
Yep, that's right.
Yep.
And they do rather suggestive movements.
Yes. Oh, and they take advantage of the 3D technology of the 3DS.
Yes. So
I think that was the entire conceit of the series. In the first place.
Probably. We have the system that can make images come out of the screen. What's the first thing we should do?
I've got an idea. Essentially, the news is it has been confirmed to be coming out in America and over here. It's been out in Japan now for a fair amount of time. And this is getting both a digital and a physical release. And if you happen to not only be of the niche to find this game of your interest, but wouldn't mind paying a little bit more to get in a little bit extra as well, there are some limited edition bundles or deluxe versions as well. So you can hunt those out before the game comes out.
And they have very suggestive titles too.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, I think one of them was just the Happy Boobs edition.
Yeah, the Happy Boobs.
Which as a name, I quite like that.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Exactly. Oh, this show's gone downhill.
Yeah.
Ever since someone's left. We wouldn't have got away with this before. Anyway. Next piece of news here. Games Freak's latest game is called Tembo the Badass Elephant.
What a title.
What a title. Comes only second to Bombing Bastards on the Wii U.
Yeah. how they got away with that, I don't know.
However, the bad news is Tembo the Badass Elephant won't be getting away with it on the eShop. This is a Game Freak game being published by Sega. However, it's only coming out to PC, the PS4, and the Xbox One. There is no Nintendo releases for this Game Freak game, which is a very peculiar situation.
I mean,
I kind of just assumed they were second party.
Yeah, me too. And that's sort of, this must be Game Freak's first title that is not coming to a Nintendo system.
Since Pokemon, I believe it is.
I mean,
they were doing non-Nintendo games before Pokemon.
True. I think Nintendo soon snatched the exclusivity deal for Pokemon as they saw it explode. It's weird. I mean, I think they gave a legitimate reason,
You say the reason, because I heard a reason, but it wasn't legitimate.
Oh, what was it that you heard?
The reason I heard was either the designer or the director was drawing up a poster for the game originally. Is this your legitimate reason?
Yes, but I say legitimate, I mean, at least he sounded somewhat honest about it. But
oh, I don't know, this is an honest reason. He was drawing up this poster and he drew some platform logos at the bottom. He drew PlayStation, Microsoft and PC or Steam, whatever it was. And apparently it just kind of stuck and people just kind of ran with that. I don't believe that story.
Well, that was part of what I heard, but then I heard that they decided to stick to those platforms that they can't afford to finance for another platform beyond those three, which, again, I admit it does sound a bit dodgy, but...
Well, I very possibly believe that it is a cost issue and they only want to support these platforms as a priority because of that. Maybe. I don't think the poster's got much to do with it, though.
Maybe not. That's just his way of saying we decided these three first and then we thought about that and then said no.
It's being published by Sega, so they will be the one calling the shots in terms of where it's going to be released. They're the ones offering the money. So they'll be choosing exactly where it gets released to because they're paying for it. Seems strange how Sega thinks these are better platforms for it.
After the riveting success of Sonic Boom.
True. Maybe it's sour that their Sonic games haven't sold to their great expectations for the franchise.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe that's where we're going to go elsewhere now, but that's just pure speculation.
I wouldn't be surprised the next Sonic game is multi-platform. Because no matter how much Nintendo paid them, I'm sure they can get more money out of the Sonic franchise, even with a bad game. Because Sonic usually does sell very well. But the game itself, it seems to be pretty cool. It's a like this 2D action platformer with like these really giant sprites. Looks pretty cool. It's a shame it's not coming out here, and I think if they did bring it out here later on, I reckon it probably would sell quite well, because Nintendo fans know Game Freak, and they only need to put in the description, you know, as they do on the odd
from
occasion.
The creators of Pokemon. Yeah.
Creators of Pokemon. I'm sure they'll get lots of people checking it out. The last piece of news we have here is George Watson is hinting, mainly on his Twitter feed, that he may be including some indie playable characters in upcoming Mutant Muds special. The best. An upcoming Mutant Muds Super Challenge. And partly the reason I've included this in the news is for exactly very self-promotional and, inexcusable reasons like that.
Hey, it's a good reason. Go ahead.
It's a very good reason. But basically, if you tweet at Jules Watson, which is at, obviously, sorry, J-O-O-L, S-W-A-T-S-H-A-M, and tweet your suggestion of which indie character you would like to be in the game, he will consider it. So any fans of the show, I would urge you to please send him a tweet and ask him if we can get Cora from Twisted Fusion into Mutant Mud Super Challenge. And it's partly because I just think she would be a great fit because, hey, she's another character with a water soaker and a jetpack, and she wasn't a copy of him. So I think she would work quite well in that universe. It's, you know, it's not a huge stretch, is it?
Well, there you go, folks. Get those tweets in.
Exactly. Okay, and now we get to move on to the meat of the show. I can't remember the last time we had a proper feature. It seems like a little while, though.
It's been a while.
Yeah. And tonight we're going to be talking about Nintendo remakes. And as I mentioned at the start of the show, both past and future. And so, first we're going to discuss the actual remakes Nintendo have made. Which are our favourites, which are obviously not so favourite. Once we've done that, we're going to start speculating in what would make a good Nintendo remake, or things they haven't done yet. So, Colin, anything come to mind particularly about a remake Nintendo's done in the past that you've particularly liked?
Well, to be honest, I mean, most of the remakes I've played have been fairly recent. I mean, I got, N64, I still have all my old games for it. But I went out and the first remake I bought properly was Star Fox 64 3D.
I still haven't picked that up yet.
To be honest, if you have the original, there's not much point. The only thing they've done is they lost the original voices or something when they were developing this game, so they had to redo the voices. So all the characters, they all sound a little bit different.
I thought that was for like quality reasons. Maybe that was a spun story I heard.
Maybe. They could be for that. I mean,
actually, I guess they would, because maybe that's what they lost, the original files. Because obviously they would have access to the files used in the last game. They would just have to rip the last game, as a worst-case scenario. Maybe they just wanted a slightly higher fidelity audio. But it's not quite the same, I guess.
That's the thing, they re-recorded all the dialogue, and most of the, Slippy, Falco, and Pepper, they all sound more or less the same. They're very tiny differences, but they're not going to, like, that's because they're different voice actors. They got different guys
now. Actually, are they?
I believe they are, apart from Fox. I think Fox is the same voice actor, but he's the one that sounds the most different.
That's probably it, then, yeah.
So it's like, his dialogue is the way it's paced. It just sounds the way people. I'm going to do it this way this time. It's a very good remake. It's obviously Star Fox 64. It's fantastic. Yeah. It's probably still the best Star Fox game that's out there.
Yeah, I mean, I've played Star Fox 64 3D, but when they remake the 64 games, obviously there's a big increase in the frame rate. which I think really changes the game.
Oh yeah, it definitely is. It's a lot smoother experience, and plus they've updated the graphics, so they don't look so triangly.
That's true. But I don't mind going back, you know, per se on like older games for older graphics, but I think it. I mean, 2D games don't really. It doesn't affect them so much, the earlier 3D games, it's harder to go back to the actual original releases, in my opinion, because they run, well, some of them run quite slowly.
Yeah, that's right.
That's good to hear, and I'll use it as a segue for both Ocarina of Time 3D and Majora's Mask 3D. I think these are great remakes. Obviously, it takes console games and put them on a portable. So it's not like a huge graphical upgrade, although it is noticeable, very noticeable.
If you compare it to, I mean, Link's face is round, which is nice.
This is true, despite going from console to portable, there is a fair difference in the graphics. I think the bigger thing is the fact is it does run a lot smoother. Yep. And again, with these two games, they do some cool things with the touchscreen, and it's one of these rare examples when, you know, you actually are doing controlly bits to the touchscreen, and it's a bone as opposed to just being a nuisance.
I mean, there are also lots of little things like, I haven't seen a comparison video, but I can swear that Link's climbing speed in the 3D remake is a lot faster.
It's almost like suspiciously faster.
And it's like
when I tried it the first time, I was like, is it broken? What's going on? Why did I just shoot up that ladder?
Yeah, so I was like, I know, so I was like, I don't remember him being that agile.
Nah.
So, little things like that. I mean, obviously the Ocarina of Time has its own slot, which is always nice, because it means you have to keep shuffling your items around. And little tweaks like that do go a long way.
A little tweak that they did in Majora's Mask, I'd like to see them go back and patch an Ocarina, but I'm not sure what the chances are of them doing it, which is basically the support for the second stick to move the camera around.
Yeah.
It's a little thing, but I think it goes a long way in a 3D action game, a 3D adventure game.
Yeah, I don't know, because I'm a purist, so I'll be like, the original didn't have that functionality, don't force it into this game.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, though. I mean, if you don't touch the stick, as it were, it doesn't get in the way. You still have the Z targeting, you still got the normal camera handle, as it were.
Mm.
But if you're just kind of in that more modern playstyle, that when you're kind of running across a field, you have this weird urge to just rotate and spin the camera around you
just
endlessly
right.
Until you get there. You can take advantage of that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Let's kind of get a bit older. So what 2D games have been remade?
2D. To be honest, I haven't played. I guess you could call it an update rather than a remake, because it's not technically remade. But I love the DS version of Chrono Trigger.
Oh yes.
Which is again, it's not technically a remake, although they've added in like the animated cutscenes and they cleaned the game up a little bit and things like that. But that is definitely the best version of that game that I've played.
So no, I still need to pick that up. I'm not sure what the price are like nowadays for a copy of that.
I recently got a new copy because my one just stopped working.
Oh, okay.
Now again, Amazon conned me a little bit here, because it was £20. I thought that's a brilliant price, I'd buy that. Got the game through in the mail, and it was an American copy, which it didn't say that in the description. It's a genuine English copy, which riles the heck out of me.
As an original DS game, it still worked, right?
That's the course. It works fine, because luckily the original DS is region 3. Hooray. I was concerned. I put the game into a 3DS and thought, oh.
Yeah, well, I was hesitant for a second, because not that I haven't used it. I was just wondering if the 3DS then applied regional settings onto it somehow.
That's what I was worried about. It's going to be like this card is invalid or something. But no, it worked fine.
No, that's good to hear.
So, whew, close call.
Cool. I think one of the... Actually, I think almost as a token mention, we have to. Mario All-Stars. And obviously on the Super Nintendo. I'm not sure it's necessarily what people think of when they think of remakes. But it essentially is, because it wasn't just a collection of great Mario games, but they did edit the art styles to update them. So in that way, they essentially are remakes. True. And not only that, is it five games in one?
I believe so.
You got the original 2, 3 lost levels, or is it just a 4?
I can't.
And there's one which came with Super Mario World as well, so we'll include that. That was a package in a cartridge. That was. However, there's a couple on the Game Boy as well, a couple of deluxe games. Link's Awakening DX or Deluxe and Deluxe, yeah. Super Mario Bros. Deluxe. Mainly because kind of in that era I was playing my Game Boy more than my consoles. And Link's Awakening I put a huge amount of time in. Although I didn't actually complete it till I rebought it on the Game Boy Color.
So do you prefer it in colour?
I do prefer it in colour, yeah. There's no downside, which is great. And there was an extra dungeon as well.
True. That's the advantage of
the power of colour.
Yeah.
I was curious, because this was a game you could play on the original Game Boy, as in the Game Boy Color version.
Yep.
I was wondering if it would let you in the dungeon if you were playing on the non-color one.
See, I think it would, but I think the dungeon would be somewhat...
Exactly, yeah, because that's incompletable. The point of it. You just wouldn't be able to solve the puzzles. And that's, I don't know, right, if that's, like, cruel... Like, which is the more cruel, not letting you in there or letting you in?
Yeah.
And showing you that you can't do it.
I can't see how they could just say... I can't see how the cartridge would detect that it's a Game Boy and not a Game Boy Color.
Oh, no, I think it can. Because I think there's some bits, like, where new things would happen on the Game Boy Color, so I think it can do the reverse. So it just doesn't detect the Game Boy Color, as it were. Mm. And then it knows it's just a Game Boy. But yeah, those two games in general were great games. Obviously, Mario Bros. Deluxe was more of a remake than Awakening was. And again, I mean, Mario Bros. Deluxe was how I completed Mario Bros. I never completed it on Nintendo, because I didn't actually own a Nintendo before a Super Nintendo.
To be fair, no, neither did I. That's the weird thing. It's like, I mean, technically, I like to say it's before my time, because I was born in 1990, so, you know, I was in that transitional period. So, yeah, it's a game that I've missed out on. But
oh, yeah, and but another funny little whatever is that both these deluxe games take advantage of the Game Boy printer. You can print tiny little images.
You can print stuff.
From Link's Awakening Deluxe and Mario Bros. Deluxe. It was quite the novelty at the time. But yeah, I like when remakes add new features, like printers.
Did you ever... This is a tangent, but did you ever have a Game Boy camera?
Well, yeah, so I wouldn't have had the printer.
No.
Like, you didn't like the camera?
The odd... Why did they have... They need...
I love the Game Boy camera.
Them times are weird. I mean, Sega brought out a freaking aerial for their...
they had a TV tuner.
Yeah.
We had a black and white camera. So, who's winning?
back to where we were.
I wanted to mention that. I thought it was cool that the Game Boy printer didn't use ink cartridges. Just burnt the images on the paper. Never had to buy ink for it. It's the good future.
Yeah.
So let's move a bit more modern than the Game Boy printer, as I'll be talking about it forever. Should we get back into 3D? Or there's a little middle ground in between, isn't there? Some Game Boy Advance games that had a lot of remakes and ports.
Well, I mean, the Pokemon remakes, they kind of had to happen, because people found that they couldn't transfer their Pokemon from the Generation 1 games to the Game Boy Advance ones, and so...
Well, before the first remake, I don't think it was a necessity. I think they could have just included all the monsters in the new region.
They could have, yeah.
But yeah, they did find this I guess, nice balance of being able to do a remake in between when they do new games and somehow yep. manage to pump out games quicker that way.
It's also nice that they went back for it to being green, because obviously our Pokemon Blue, as in, you, I'm not sure about the Americas, I think might have had the same.
Oh yeah, American, had they had the same as us.
Yeah, the Pokemon Blue was actually Pokemon Green, yeah. but they just called it Blue for some unknown reason. Oh, they thought it'd be a good idea to...
Do we have to tell this tale? I'll probably tell it badly now, I've not heard it in a while, but I think it was that the original two games in Japan were Red and Green.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they made the improved Blue version, which was kind of, they fixed a few bugs, they added a few little usability things and so on, but that was the Blue version. And then so when they then brought it out to America, they used Blue as the template.
Yeah, that's right.
And then pulled in one of the other games, which obviously was Red. And so we had Blue and Red.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, it's just odd how the remix. They could have had, you know,
obviously, yeah. I mean, they could have just used Blue. They could have, just used the template for Green. But you know, they could still change the color. It wouldn't have been a huge amount of work.
Nope. But they went back to Green. So that's fair.
But the remakes themselves, I remember them being pretty good on the Game Boy Advance.
I played them, but I have no memory of playing them. It's just they seem to just gloss over me.
I think,
and this is, you know,
I was going to say, the only thing I remember of the remakes. Is that you could, I'm hoping I'm remembering correctly, not just talking about another game now, but after you completed it, you could go back and beat the guy from the original game? Or am I thinking of Gold now?
Possibly. I mean, Pokemon Fire was one of the last Pokemon games I played before playing Y, and I didn't like Y. I've moved on from Pokemon.
Mm. I can't remember if it was X or Y I played, and I did quite like it. But a friend managed to convince me to pick up Ruby Sapphire. One of those. I don't even know which one it was.
Alpha Sapphire or
Ruby Sapphire? One of them. I don't even know which one it is.
Is that the third game or?
Must be. No, obviously, the latest, obviously, remake. But I'm only about. I'm either like one or two gyms in, and I find it's taken me this long, but I've finally hit that like wall, and like it's all the same.
Yeah, that's the problem with the series.
It survived so long now. I did really well.
Yeah, but I mean, every series has to change at some point. Every franchise has a development area where they reinvent themselves.
Yeah,
like one's like we don't need about 8 dungeons and or gyms, and the Elite Four. Boom, you're done.
Yeah. Is there any other remakes we want to discuss before we start predicting new games?
I would like to say Super Mario 64 DS killed Super Mario 64 for me.
Yeah?
Because I really loved the original, and then I was like, oh, they're going to remake it, which I was straight away a bit iffy about. I was like, tried it, and I didn't like it.
So in retrospect, I almost wish they held back on this for the 3DS launch.
Hmm.
Because not only would you have the circle pad, but I think, because this was like the first 3D Mario, it would have been a good intro to be the first like stereoscopic
3D Mario.
Because I think because of how that game's designed, it was all like, how do we show off 3D in terms of polygons? Yep. But I think a lot of that works in the 3D of the 3DS as well. That with the widescreen, with the extra, with having a stick in the first place, I reckon it would have made that port a lot better.
Yeah.
They did a lot of content. There was like lots of extra stars. You could play as different characters and in multiplayer.
Yeah. Which
it seems a shame that there was a lot of great ideas with it, but it seems it was almost hamstringed by the console it was on.
The console it's on, yeah. I mean, it would have been great as well, because you think about it, you would have had Mario 64 3DS, I suppose they would have called it, Star Fox 3D, and as well as Zelda, Ocarina of Time 3D.
So, yeah.
That's, the greatest three games on the N64 on one system.
So I'm thinking, it was Mario 64 DS. Was that the only 64 game ported to the DS?
I believe so. I want to say yes. Yeah. I think they tried it once before.
It's strange how they managed to get Mario 64 working on the DS, but nothing else, apparently.
Mm.
And not until they had the power of the 3DS could they then put Star Fox.
Yeah, I think it's got to be the circle pad. The fact that it had a circle pad was like...
Possibly, yeah.
Close to the analog stick.
Yeah. That, I mean, Mario 64 DS I'll probably talk about in our next little bit of the feature, because I'd like to see that again. Have another go of that one.
Yeah.
But in terms of what they've done, I think we've covered most of it now. I bullet pointed this one, although I've not actually got around to playing it. Kirby Superstar Ultra looks like a pretty good remake of obviously Superstar, which is probably my favourite Kirby game. I'm still tempted to pick that up.
I have still yet to play a Kirby game.
Ah. Well, there's the virtual console.
There is. I mean, I've looked at the games. So I've always, there's something that always beat me off. I mean, I think because as a character, I don't really relate to Kirby that much. I mean, cute little blob, you know. Big blob, and I'm like, wow. It's not, you know.
As a little puffball, which likes to suck. Wait a minute.
Does that? I mean,
I'm going to refrain that.
Yeah. Yeah, so Kirby's stay clear of Kirby.
Well, my Kirby recommendation for you and the listeners is still hit up the Wii virtual console. I don't think it's on the Wii U one yet. Find Superstar, because it's a bunch of different Kirby games, and in particular I really like the Meta Knight one, which is one you need to unlock, but it changes the theme of Kirby from something which is very, very, like, almost garishly cute, to something which is a bit more
leak,
kind of comic book gritty. As in, Meta Knight and the Halberd, and so on. And they introduce those sort of characters and stages and such. And there's some really awesome music and fighting against, like, sunsets and... Lots of weird and wonderful things. But yeah, that's a game that I have very fond memories from the Super Nintendo. But I think now is a good time we move on to the future of things. So what games could Nintendo remake still? For either the Wii U, the 3DS, or potentially a new console?
So you're just... go down the list of these games and...
Yeah, we might as well. We've got a bullet point list here. And this is just a list I put together for the show of possible remakes. Obviously, it won't necessarily be limited to just these if we get some ideas while we're talking. So we have Twilight Princess, Skyward Sword, Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, Mario Galaxy 1 or 2, Super Metroid, Metroid 2, Zelda 2, Duck Hunt, Star Tropics, Picross 3D, Advance Wars 1 or 2, Spirit Tracks, or Phantom Hourglass, or Goose Trick.
Yes.
So do you agree with any of these, Colin?
There are some games which are considered holy and should not be touched again.
Let's start with those.
Okay, so Super Metroid straight away.
That should never be remade.
That should never be remade. It's still perfectly playable as it is. It's a game that doesn't age because of the way it looks.
Mm.
So, it's fine. You don't need to have it redone because they'll probably ruin it if they try to.
No, that's an answer I do like quite a lot, actually. I mean, they have the virtual console. It is a game which holds up very well. So I guess your point of view would be you're not going to say no to a new 2D Metroid. But no, it might as well be a new 2D Metroid at that point.
Yeah, if they're going to take the effort into
doing
that, then yeah. Like they did with Link Between Worlds. Yeah. That started as a remake and then they changed during development, which is great, fantastic.
Okay, on that line of thinking, I've put down both the DS Zelda games.
Yes.
And the reason being is I think there's good things about these games. I think that there's also things that with some tweaks here and there they could be even better games, But I also think that these games look absolutely terrible.
Fair enough.
And I think that just pumping some more polygons or putting these on a high resolution screen, the games would look a lot better than they did on the DS.
Well, these would be a perfect fit to be remade on 3DS. Because, the trouble with these games was I never did like the control method, the way you control Link, because it's sort of touchscreen based.
That's true.
And it feels like you're guiding him rather than actually playing as him, because you're controlling the fairy.
Yeah.
He just sort of follows it in the direct line.
Maybe they could add some alternative methods. So you could do all the same things, or you could also use the buttons.
Yeah.
For the bits, at least you could. Maybe on some of the items you can't. But there's no reason you can't run around with the circle pad.
Yeah.
And then use the touchscreen specific things.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. So that would be ideal to be remade on 3DS if they added that functionality. If they're not going to, I'm not saying these are going to be remade, but if they don't do that, then it is pointless to me.
Yeah.
Because the controlling Link was very awkward and it got you killed quite a bit.
Yeah. But now I think, in a way, just to get on that bigger screen, high resolution, I think the game would actually look really nice in that Wind Waker art style. I just think it was just so low resolution before that, because they would try and do these like almost close up like cutscenes with other characters, and I just thought it looked terrible.
The colours weren't that vibrant either.
Yeah, I wished at that time they just stuck to a lovely 2D sprites.
Yep.
Instead of deformed.
A good way of looking at it, how that game could look better on a higher power system, is the Spirit Tracks level in Smash Bros.
True,
on the 3DS. You look at that and how great that looks. Imagine a whole game like that. You know, be amazing.
Yeah. And that's something which, you know, maybe it could even be something they could like bundle together as like a thing you would just, you know, buy on a cartridge or a single download, and you could have both games remastered. I think that could swing some people over who maybe wouldn't pick up one on their own.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And actually, I want to jump into another Zelda game. Mm-hmm. And this one is a game that I've tried a few times to get into and never have. And it's Zelda 2.
Yes, the odd one. As everyone calls it, the odd Zelda.
Which I guess was a title which Majora's Mask had for a while as well.
It did, but
grown out of it.
Majora's Mask is still based on the previous Zelda game. Whereas Zelda 2 goes in a completely different direction from the previous Zelda game, because it's no longer top-down, it's side-scrolling, and Link can jump and do like the traditional down thrust of his sword now.
And he can also gain experience points.
He can. It's the only Zelda game with a level-up system, which is an interesting idea. That'd be a great concept. They could bring that back in some form.
Yeah. See, I
think
this would like have to be a portable game as well.
Yeah, as a console game, I don't think it would work quite so well.
So that we're chucking a lot on the 3DS, but I think it would be another game which looks actually good in 3D. You know, you split up the different parallaxes, and I can't remember Zelda 2 even had parallax, but you could have this, you know, nice layers of sprites for the background. I think that could look quite good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just, I don't know. Zelda 2 is such a departure from traditional Zelda games. I'm not quite sure how well received it will be, but
that's true. But I think it's like an opportunity that they can go in and try and add some bits here and there which would improve the game, improve the experience. And yeah, they can get people to take another look at the game. But yeah, it's a game I would like to play through, but it's
fiendishly
a struggle currently.
It's quite difficult because I've taken multiple attempts at it and I failed miserably. But there is a Zelda game here which I would like. I really enjoy to see on the Wii U because I don't think the GameCube had quite enough oomph to push it out. Even the Wii. The Wii version looks slightly less impressive, you know, it's a wide screen. And that's Twilight Princess. I think they do a HD, you know, remake. That game would look amazing.
I guess, like, control-wise, in terms of the other bits, it would be quite like Wind Waker HD.
But that's fine. That's We're the best thing with Wimega HD, and now I've played Wimega HD, I could not do it any. You know, the fact you can swap your items in and out without having to pause the game, it just makes everything a lot more fluid.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on here.
It'll be so useful in Twilight Princess because you are changing items a lot, as you are in any Zelda game. So, yeah.
So, according to people who run the Dolphin emulator, they wouldn't have to do much work to make it look good in HD.
No.
Because apparently just pumping up it in a higher resolution makes the game look really great.
Well, I mean, it came right at the end of the GameCube's, you know, life cycle.
Yeah.
Nintendo clearly by that point, you know, they made the system, knew how to squeeze out what they could out of it.
Actually, you know a change I would like to see in this? Like a fully orchestrated soundtrack.
Yeah, the original soundtrack was a bit disappointing.
Because, yeah, they have that extra space now, and I think something like that would be more achievable than necessarily like a complete graphics overhaul of absolutely everything in the game.
Yep.
But yeah, that would just fit the style of the game really well. And yeah, that would be cool to see. I mean, saying that, Nintendo's been churning out a lot of Zelda games of recent years.
Yeah, the series has been given quite a lot of love.
Yeah, a lot of new games, a lot of remakes as well. So I guess there is a possibility of this. Obviously, we've got, as they keep telling us, a new Zelda game, in quotes, new entry in the Legend of Zelda series coming to in 2015. Yep. So maybe Twilight Princess could be our 2016 Wii U Zelda game.
Well, yeah, it is the odd thing where we've been getting a Zelda game every year now, which is since 2011.
On each console as well.
But yeah, it is a yearly. I mean, we had said, like, what kind of time in 2011? 2012, I believe, was the HD remake of Wind Waker. Yeah. 2013 was Leap Between Worlds. 2014, if it counts, is Hyrule Warriors. And 2015 is going to be the new Zelda game. So, next year?
You know what would be terribly sneaky? You know, as I just said in quotes, what Nintendo has promised to deliver for us this year. Mm-hmm. Do you reckon they could do a switch and bait technique where the game that we know of as the Zelda Wii U game does in fact get delayed till next year, and what we do get for the holiday season is Twilight Princess HD on the Wii U?
I would be perfectly happy with that.
See, I wouldn't mind too much either.
I would be like, okay, fine, have some money.
Because we still get an entry in the Legend of Zelda series this year.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, but I think the thing about Twilight Princess, everyone says, oh, it's too much like Ocarina of Time, which technically should not be a bad thing. But it's, yeah, I would love to go through Twilight Princess again.
And again, because if they did a remake of it, they could streamline some bits like the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And the fact it is a remake, maybe they could subtly put some things in, like, basically someone asking you, have you played this before? Like, are you a competent warrior or whatever? Work around in it. Streamline that beginning bit. I don't think there's any point of doing a remake if you're not going to, you know, take another look at the game with fresh eyes and see what you could do to improve it.
Yeah, that's right. But, the next Zelda game. So Skyward Sword,
that's a tricky one, that one.
This is awkward because a lot of people who I talk to about the game say they couldn't get on with it because of the motion controls.
Yeah.
But there's also the other half which say the motion controls were fantastic.
So I don't think you can take him out of Skyward Sword.
I don't think you could, but I think there could be a way. You must be. It'd be nice if he was given the option. You know?
I think it's too integral to that particular game. There's a lot of enemies where that's kind of the point of defeating them, and there's puzzles which involve it, which I don't think would translate to a button press.
Button press, yeah.
Because it was how it was designed in this particular instance.
What they could do is you hold down, like, let's just say the B button, and then you use the analog stick to decide which way you're going to. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they can even use a touch screen on the gamepad or something.
Maybe. I mean,
when needed.
I don't know. Skyward Swords, I've played it. I've never finished it because I'm one of those ones that didn't quite get on with the motion controls.
That's fair enough. But I think it probably has like the strongest, like, in quick Zelda story to it.
Yeah, that was the problem. The story really intrigues me. Mm. And I was just like, I want to continue, but I don't want to keep swinging my arm around.
But yeah, yeah, I think that's... I mean, I actually got on quite well with that game. But what I think is going to be quite interesting is how this game stands the test of time in terms of, like, in terms of emulation, in terms of Virtual Console, in terms of remakes and so on.
Yeah.
Will there ever be another version of this? Because it's so tied to a Wii Remote.
It might be
one which gets lost.
Possibly, yeah. I think you may be right. It is too tricky to adapt it to another system because it's so tied to the Wii.
Yeah.
So,
and, I mean, I actually wonder about this for other games as well, and like particularly for like Wii U games which do take advantage of the two screens.
Yeah.
In like a couple consoles down the road, will we be able to play these games in any form?
Even then, if it uses the touchscreen, it's the only way I could think of was having the two screens side by side on the TV, but then would you interact with the one on the right? I don't know. It's...
And I think it's both good and bad. Obviously, you know, the bad part is, like, in a couple of generations' time, they may not be able to play certain games, certain ones which may be held up to being really renowned.
Yeah.
And I guess the good thing is...
You can't emulate it.
well, I guess it's good for legal reasons, for Nintendo and so on, but I think it's good that Nintendo do take advantage of the hardware and don't worry too much about that, and like they're just in the here and now, as it were.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And they go, oh, let's make Nintendo Land, because it will be fun. It will be fun to get five people around and do this weird thing and not worry too much how they're going to move on to the next console.
Well, to be fair, I can't see many people clamouring for Nintendo Land or the next system.
Oh, I like Nintendo Land.
I
still rock
it. You are in the minority, by the way.
I know I am. things like Nintendo Land are the reasons why I love a Nintendo. Not necessarily Nintendo Land in particular. I think we've exhausted all the Zelda games on this list.
We have.
Which is probably just all the Zelda games. Well, nah, it's not all the Zelda games. But yeah, let's move over to some non-Zelda endeavours. Actually, I did mention Mario 64 before, didn't I?
Yes.
See, I'm not sure whether I would stick that on a... Actually, no, I think I would stick that on the console.
I think I would go the 3DS route.
Because, yeah, see, that's a tricky one. It'd be good for both. I mean, it would be to show off the actual stereoscopic 3D. But I think it's a game which is simple enough that it would still, like, work as a modern-ish game on a console. We don't get many 3D platformers nowadays. And I don't think it's aged hugely in that concern. Especially if you had the opportunity for a few tweaks here and there. So I think if you stuck it through like a HD Galaxy engine with the content which was in 64 DS.
You want to bring back the extra characters?
Why not?
They
were just there for multiplayer, weren't they?
No, you could play them in single player. They all had different abilities, I think.
Yeah.
Like the Wii jump higher and things like that, but I just prefer the original.
Well, that's right. I mean, you can still just play as Mario if you want to.
I guess.
Yeah, I like the idea of adding multiplayer to it. That's quite cool. Like I have a gamepad TV type setup. Or maybe even online. How about that, Nintendo?
Yeah. That's not going to happen.
Mario 64 online will be the next version.
That'd be awful.
And it would start a whole series of games which are prefaced with online at the end.
Yeah.
Xbox with live games.
Nintendo Live.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Okay. How about a very simple one, Mario Galaxy HD 1 and 2?
No.
No?
Nope. I think they're perfect.
Let's move next.
Yep, move on.
I see, if we did that system, we could have got through this a lot quicker.
Yeah. If it was elaborate, I'll elaborate. It's because, I mean, the games look fine. They don't need to be transferred into HD or crammed down onto a portable. So I think there's no reason for them to be remade at all. Just put them on the Virtual Console, everyone's happy.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Maybe I'm a bit of a graphics snob. Even though I mainly play Nintendo games. But I find it hard to go back to some Wii games. Especially ones which do try a lot to be nice. And Galaxy did look great at the time, but I look at it now and I just see the Jackies everywhere. And it just seems... Maybe it's just a problem people have after they bought new TVs. I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe.
Not that I've bought one recently, but I have definitely bought one since buying a Wii U. Which has made me take a look at all my Wii games in a slightly different way. I guess it's not the worst problem to have.
No.
Nah. Mario Sunshine.
I would love to see it remade on the Wii U, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, just purely for the gamepad use, you could switch between, you know, I know you can switch between the funnels quite easily on the GameCube version, yeah. But still, you know,
Actually, it could have a control method a bit like Splatoon.
It could do, yeah. I mean, you know, that'll work well.
Yeah, because the aiming works really well in Splatoon, and yeah, Sunshine could use a similar system.
Yep. It'd be a lot better than using an analog stick to aim. You can just precision control it.
I was actually quite surprised why they didn't try to remake Sunshine or even Luigi's Mansion for the Wii. When they had the Wii remote for aiming.
Yeah, well, Luigi's Mansion, I kind of understand that because of the perspective it's in.
But at the time, it seemed a good idea, but you know, you are completely right. Unless it was a new type of game, it doesn't really add anything new.
A first-person Luigi's Mansion.
Like the new arcade game in
Japan. The arcade game, exactly. It all comes together.
In a weird and wonderful way, yeah. So I also think Sunshine is another one where they can add some tweaks here and there to refine it.
Yeah.
I think it was a few little tweaks away of like being a masterpiece opposed to just being a great game.
Are you not a fan of Sunshine?
Well, no, I do really like it, but I think the general consensus is it was quite a considerable step down from, say, 64 or like Galaxy, which then came after it.
Well, to be fair, 64 was a masterpiece, so I don't know replicate that. Yeah, I don't know.
True, but I think some tweaks and some extra little bits will go a long way in that game.
Yeah, I'm looking at this list and the one that's screaming at me is Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt,
because
we've had Duck Hunt too.
That game would make that if that was remade, it would have made sense to remake it when the Wii was at its height.
Yeah, well, we kind of had like a spiritual successor in Wii Play.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, but there's no point remaking it now, in my opinion.
Just relaunched a character. Yeah. Duck Hunt or Duck Hunt Duo, as he is over here.
Yeah.
Maybe it's now could be his big break. We could have a big budget, £50 or $50 release of Duck Hunt 2. It could be Nintendo's next big franchise. They could give it the Kid Icarus treatment. Get Sakurai 25 involved.
25 years later.
Yeah.
Have another game in the series. No, it's just... If they were to remake that, Dave missed the boat. It's gone.
Yeah.
So
it wouldn't be quite the same just using the touch screen to touch the targets or touch the...
Touch ducks.
The ducks.
Touch ducks. Episode title, Touch Ducks.
I'm finding an iPhone later and searching Touch Ducks. I bet that game exists.
We're finding an iPhone later to touch ducks.
I mean, I've got a perfectly good smartphone, but I don't think it would be a sufficient search. It has to be an iPhone.
Fair enough.
for touch ducks, that is ducks. The iPhone market.
In a nutshell. Yep.
I've got another peculiar one on here. I'm not sure it's quite as odd as Duck Hunt, but in a way it is, which is Picross 3D.
Mm.
And the reason that it's on this list is because I think it makes so much sense for there to be that game on the 3DS.
I think it makes sense for that game to be on every system. You know, it's just a simple puzzle game, you know. So
true. Well, they've released the 2D games or 2D puzzles on the eShop. But the 3D version, where you can actually spin the grid round and you chisel into it, is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, it'll great. Something that I would like to play on Wii U, I think. Just to sit there with just the dice, the gamepad in your hand.
Yeah.
Just spin the block, by sliding it and tapping it through the holes.
If you had it on the Wii U, it could also almost be a bit of a group game. Not that you would actively play like that all the time, but say you were trying to get through a puzzle and then someone else joins the room, or just someone else happens to be there.
Yeah, and you got people possibly just shouting at the screen, telling you what to do. They're hilarity.
I think Picross is a great series, and I think Picross really is like a completely different take on it. It's not like just a little gimmick added on. It really makes the puzzles very, very different, and I would like to see another one of those. It's more of a sequel request than a remake request, but I would take a remake because I only got for a fraction of the puzzles in that game, so I wouldn't mind buying it again to tackle some of the rest through many, many more hours.
Yeah, that's the great thing about Picross, really. It's just...
But then again, it is a DS game I still own. I do plug it in every now and again, and I do play it on my 3DS.
It's always good.
Yep. Anything else on your side, Colin?
Metroid 2 is, I would say, the same thing to Super Metroid as it, not as extreme though. It's not. Metroid 2 to be as holy as Super Metroid, but again, I would rather a new game rather than a remake.
I think that was quite an interesting one because I think they did a really good job with Zero Mission.
Yeah.
Which was obviously a remake of the first Metroid game. Yeah. And I thought Metroid 2 was more in need of that treatment than the original one was. Maybe that's a split view there, but I would like to play through Metroid 2, but I don't think playing it on the Game Boy as it is, after having played other Metroid games, is going to be a great experience.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll come to that point where they can remake it and make the tweaks, but then by the time they've made all those tweaks, they might as well just made a new Metroid game.
I think maybe the time's gone on this one, but I think if they had done it in that kind of Game Boy Advance era, or just after they'd done Zero Mission, and used that engine, it would have hugely improved that game. In terms of games, which I think put a little bit of extra work in it, and it will be a much better game nowadays, I think that's quite high up on the list, alongside Zelda 2.
Yeah.
What is it? Two games.
It's always the sequels, so the old ones out.
Yeah, it is in Nintendo world, at least.
But one that I would like to see redone, not so much redone, is the very last game on the list, Ghost Trick. Now, that game is, if anyone who hasn't not to know, is that it's written, I believe, by the same guy who did the Ace Attorney games.
Yes.
And so it has a really wacky storyline. But it's also really well written, really well thought out, and the game is fantastic. It's not so much the visuals are bad, but I would love to see a visual upgrade. On 3DS. I'll say this game is perfect for 3DS, the original game on DS.
Yeah.
I just think they could do things like the 3D effect would be quite good.
That's true, and it's almost a cheat, this one. Because there is. It is a bit sacrilege to say, but there is essentially a better version of this game already out. And believe it or not, it's the version which is available for the iPad. And now before everyone gets the pitchforks out, the reason why, it's because it's just a touch-based game.
Yeah.
And the iPad has a ridiculously good-looking screen, if people take advantage of it. And they did for this port. They just reworked it for the high-resolution Retina screen. Which, I usually hate it when people call it a high-resolution screen, but in comparison to a DS, is an absolutely gigantic difference. But seeing that, it's not even sprites, is it? Whatever, the characters and their, silky smooth animations play out, it looks really great on the iPad, and you don't lose anything from not having the buttons because you don't use them in the first place. And the profile looks really great on the high-resolution as well. So, I would be happy if that version just appeared up on the Wii U eShop. Because it would be nice to play that on the TV and be able to use the touch screen as the controller to do, to move around the ghost and so on, all the touchscreen bits of that game does, while people can enjoy the story or just myself on the nice big HD TV. Yeah, I think they put a load of work into the animations of the characters, and the story is fantastic, and I really like how that game, it kind of merges the story and the gameplay together in a way I don't see much in other games. So it feels like you're doing what the character's doing in the story. And yeah, I think it's a really smart game that I'd like to see remade or ported or whatever, so some more people can play it and I have another reason to own another copy of it and give the person who made it a bit more money.
It's always good.
There's a few rare games where I'm happy to rebuy, and this one is definitely one of those.
There is one game that's not on this list that I would love to see remade, and that is the original Rogue Squadron.
Ooh, yes.
For the N64. Mainly because they pushed that system as hard as they could to try and make that game look as nice as it is. And it does look great, but if you compare it, obviously, to Rogue Squadron, which came on the GameCube, they should really see what they're trying to aim for. But the original is such a good game, gameplay-wise. It's really good. So I'll see that get the visual upgrade, as well as you get to experience this great game. So that'd be like a great Wii U game, I think, just to show off the, you know, Star Wars in HD.
I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, we're saying that we're due for some Star Wars games soon, I imagine, with new Star Wars movies in the works.
Possibly.
Now being pluralized. Well, yeah, whether they're going to hit Nintendo or not is one thing, but there's definitely got to be games in the works in general. And I would imagine they would hit Nintendo as well. How big the brand is.
I would just love the Super Star Wars series to come out on Virtual Console.
Oh, that too, that would be nice. They are good games, they are Super Star Wars games.
They're very good games.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to be cautiously optimistic that the new Star Wars games to be tied with these new Star Wars movies are going to be pretty cool. I imagine they're going to be putting a lot of money into these, and obviously they have the foresight now of a lot of game experience beforehand, which wasn't always the case with Star Wars movies.
That's true. I mean, to be fair, most games of movies don't tend to be that good.
True, but I think companies have the smarts behind that. If they actually do it right, there's a lot of money to be made.
Yeah.
But then again, you never know. Maybe it will just be a title to Disney Infinity. There is that possibility still.
I forgot about the Disney.
Exactly. Like, that's why I forgot about it too. But now they've got to do some sort of...
No, they won't. Now you mentioned that, it's Disney Infinity. It's got that's what it's going to be.
Well, I'm not saying it won't be that, but I'm saying there will also
be
other games because
they can make some
other money, you know.
Yeah, it's Disney Infinity.
Oh well, at least it's coming to Nintendo then. Cool. Yeah, I think that's going to wrap up our Nintendo remakes feature. I assume that you didn't have any.
No,
sneak in at the last minute.
My Rogue Squadron was my trump card. I played it. I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite annoying going through this. I won't go too long because I have now vocalized. I've ended the feature. but it's such a shame that Rare isn't a part of Nintendo anymore. Just because there's so many great Rare games I would like to have remade in some fashion. Some which have been since on the non-Nintendo stuff.
Are you suggesting you want to remake a Banjo-Kazooie?
To be fair, I'd take most Rare games remakes of. I was actually thinking more of like GoldenEye and Perfect Dark. Both. Which
Jet Force Gemini, was that Rare?
That was Rare as well. That would be a good remake.
I would take that.
One of the first, I think, third-person shooters in that style, at least, I feel. I feel a lot of games started copying it afterwards.
Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that and just kind of the more realistic third-person shooters, I think, cribbed a lot of ideas from Jet Force Gemini. But yeah, loads of great Rare games, which would be good as remakes. And I guess as we end this feature... a bunch of ex-Rare staff have I believe, today announcing what their next project is going to be, or I guess their first project as a new company, Project Ukulele, and it's going to be their a 3D platformer in Banjo-Kazooie-esque fashion, which is quite interesting.
Apparently, get used to collecting lots of pointless objects.
Yeah, well, it's been a while.
It's been a while since we've done that.
It's been a while since we've done that. The painful memories are a very distant thing now, so...
Donkey Kong 64 is the worst.
Yes, it is. Maybe we could do a Donkey Kong special episode where we all have to play it and collect all the bananas beforehand. And then we can just rant about it.
I refuse.
Throughout the entire duration of the show. Well, speculation of that show brings us to the end of this show. As always, you can send your comments and questions to contact@infendo.com. Also, you can contact us both on Miiverse and also on Twitter. Colin, yes. Would you like to give out your Twitter and Miiverse details so people can contact you?
I shall. Okay, so my Miiverse, Nintendo Network ID, whatever you want to call it, is Cole1990. Twitter is @HeliumBard. It is like you think it's felt. And that's how you can get hold of me.
I think when we do get around to making the Infendo t-shirts, I think one of them will be on the front, Harley Bard, on the back, it is how you think it's spelled. However, my details are, they're both the same for Miiverse on Twitter, which is Luvsion, and that is spelled Leuvsion. And because I am the person who likes to, I was going to say something... rather something which shouldn't be said on a podcast involving plugs, but I'm going to put in a plug of myself anyway, which is the same thing we mentioned earlier, which is please do send a tweet Jewel Watson's way, which is @JOOLSWATSHAM, and let him know Cora should be in Mutant Mud's Super Challenge. That would be greatly appreciated. If we could get Cora in it, that'd be awesome. I was going to say also put in something you would generally like, but just say Cora. Yeah,
that's all we need.
Her chances will be higher if you don't mention anyone else. And with that, thank you very much for listening. This has been Infendo Radio.
Goodbye. The end is just plugging away.
Fantastic. I was going to say something about having you plugging one end and plugging another.
That works translate well at all.